At this time, I'd like to convene a public comment session. The procedures of the board allow for a public comment session during each board meeting. Each speaker is allotted 5 minutes to address the board. There are no substitutions for speakers. Before the speaker begins, I should mention that the tradition of the board has been to listen closely to what speakers have to say and ask questions only as necessary. I'm sure the speaker is happy to avail himself or herself outside the board meeting for a question and answer session as appropriate. We appreciate the fact that we have guest speakers today, and we appreciate their interest in the University of Illinois, and we look forward to hearing from them all. Our first speaker I'd like to call on is Ms. Colleen McCoy.
Please step to the podium.
Good morning. Good morning, Board of Trustees. Please know that I'm requesting the Board of Trustees to consider creating a meaningful relationship with the Peoria Tribe in order to maintain the proud symbol of our university, the Illini. Please consider the following. The University of Illinois will recognize the Peoria Tribe as the descendants of the Illini Confederation. The University of Illinois will create a meaningful relationship with the Peoria Tribe of Oklahoma. The University of Illinois will enter into negotiation with the Peoria Tribe to honor the Peoria people, which may include a scholarship program for all qualified members of the Peoria Tribe, a Peoria elected by the Peoria Tribe who would be a member of the University of Illinois' Board of Trustees, the establishment of outreach programs that will address the needs of the Peoria Tribe. Outreach programs between the University of Illinois and Peoria Tribe might include, and they're listed. The University of Illinois will respectfully request that the Peoria Tribe consider the continued usage of the Fighting Illini as the title of the University of Illinois' sports teams. If the Peoria Tribe is amenable, a committee of the present and former Chief Illiniwex will meet with the Peoria to respectfully request if the Peoria Tribe will be willing to consider a new incarnation of Chief Illiniwex, which may include a new tribal costume and regalia that is representative of the Peoria people. The University of Illinois will request that the Peoria would be willing to honor the university with a new stomp dance that would be performed by a member or members of the Peoria Tribe who would receive a scholarship to perform the dance and would be an ambassador and liaison for the Peoria Tribe at the University of Illinois. If the University of Illinois is unwilling or unable to create a meaningful relationship with the Peoria Tribe, the University of Illinois will retain the title Fighting Illini, but will not have a symbol of any type that represents the Illini Confederation, nor will the University of Illinois create or allow a mascot. Please consider the following background information regarding the University of Illinois' Fighting Illini. The earliest recorded usage of the term Illini appears to have been January 1874, when the weekly student newspaper changed its name from the Student to the Illini. A quote from the paper, "Here ambition steals away our modesty, and with a thrill of excitement we hopefully query, shall our name in future times be known far and wide as that of the broad, fair state we honor? And shall it be honored and cherished like that? Shall generation after generation pass and find unfailing stores of richness and worth? Shall cultivation beautify our appearance and cause abundant harvest of choicest fruit? Illinois, Queen of the Union, we place upon thy fair brow the diadem of the states, Illini, ah, what will others say? We wait and wonder and away to work." The term Fighting Illini was first used beginning in 1921. The expression Illiniwek was first used in conjunction with the University of Illinois by football coach Bob Zupke in the middle 1920s. Zupp was intrigued by the concept of the Illini peoples held about their identity and aspirations. They spoke a dialect of the Algonquin language and used the term Illiniwek to refer to the complete human being, the strong, agile human body, the unfettered human intellect, the indomitable human spirit. In October 1989, the Student Government Association considered a resolution that would have encouraged the elimination of the chief, calling the halftime performance discriminatory. At that time, a dial-a-vote promotion among the students resulted in a response of 2,002 voting to retain the chief and 100 voting against. A commission in 1991, a statement on access and equality and diversity, consistent policies. The institution should resolve what appears to many, both within and outside the university, to be inconsistencies with exemplary diversity policies and practices, and its policies regarding the chief. The team emphasizes again that it does not believe that the chief per se is an accreditation issue. It is incumbent upon any public institution, however, to articulate the rationale for its policies, especially when they're in apparent contradiction with each other. In 1995, the Peoria tribe, the direct descendants of the remnants of the Illini tribe, approved the use of the chief by the university. At that time, during a WICD, the Champaign affiliate of NBC broadcast, Chief Giles of the Peoria tribe stated, "To say that we're anything but proud to have these portrayals would be completely wrong. We're proud that the University of Illinois is a major institution in the state, a seat of learning, and that the University of Illinois, and that they are drawing on the background of our having been there. And what more honor could they pay us?" As part of the same broadcast, Ron Froman, an officer in the Peoria tribe, was quoted on Chief Illiniwek homepage as saying that the protesters do not speak for all Native Americans, and certainly not for the Peoria tribe. In 1996, Representative Rick Winkle, a University of Illinois alumnus, introduced a bill in the Illinois House of Representatives. That bill was introduced and passed by the legislature, provided, "Consistent with the longstanding proud tradition, the General Assembly hereby declares that Chief Illiniwek shall remain the honored symbol of the great university, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign." After an amendatory veto by Governor Jim Enger, the bill became effective law June 1, 1996. The amendatory veto changed the "shall remain" to "may remain" to let the issue remain a university decision. On March 30th...
Excuse me, Ms. McCoy, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap it up. We have four other speakers to follow.
Absolutely. I encourage the University of Illinois to join the Peoria tribe in their mission to promote the common welfare of our Illini tribe, protect our people, our land, and natural resources now and in the future, and protect our Illini Indian heritage, including our religion, customs, and language. Thank you for your consideration. Illini, now and forever.
Thank you very much, Ms. McCoy. Our next speaker is Eunice Davidson.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I come all the way from North Dakota. Anyway, I want to say aho. Greetings. My name is Eunice Davidson. I am an enrolled member of the Spirit Lake Tribe in North Dakota. I am here in support of keeping the Fighting Illini name and the authentic image, and want to echo the words of John Chesky, who is a tribal spiritual leader on our reservation and my close friend. He replaces my uncle Buddy Albert's American Horse, who passed away in 2016. After more than 40 years of service to reservations around the U.S. and Canada, he also supported continued use of not just the Fighting Sioux name, but the Fighting Illini as well. I have supplied an affidavit from Buddy to the court in 2009 that expresses his concern about what is happening in the country. As John Chesky said last fall, we do not come to cause trouble. But as American Indians, we do have grave concerns about what is happening. 30 of our tribal members from the Great Sioux Nation traveled to do a dance ceremony and show support for the Fighting Illini name. Common sense tells Native American supporters not one of the universities or schools adopted our names and images out of disrespect. They were chosen for their strength, courage, and honor. As a proud and glorious American Indian history connected to Illinois goes unreported or warped and twisted to make Indians mere helpless victims, the Fighting Illini name and image counters the tragic distortion of truth. Your name was never adopted as a joke or meant to cause pain or harm. It was not contributed to any of the problems in Indian country To the contrary, it was given pride to the majority of American Indians who still admire our ancestors. We are proud people, but sadly, we are still fighting for our survival in what is becoming the becoming a more hostile world. Only the people fighting for removal know their true motives. But from an Indian perspective, it is a new form of genocide by self-seeking individuals, just as happened for hundreds of years by non-Indians and Indians alike. Back in North Dakota, as we are about to win a lawsuit against the NCAA Executive Committee in 2007, we had a change in the chancellor's position to the higher education system. And the new chancellor on his first day went to work to scuttle the winning lawsuit, and then proceeded to fight the very Indians he was pretending to help. As we were able to force one meeting with him, as he sat there looking down his nose at us, we could see the contempt and disgust he felt towards we as Indians at the table. This, sadly, is a pattern we have come across far too many times. I say to the Chancellor of the U of I, you do not fool anyone with your hostilities towards Native Americans and racist attitude to rid the university of anything Native American. I just want you to know I cannot and do not speak for all Indians, and neither does the removal movement. But I can speak with the proven majority of American Indians, the 91% who have stated clearly they do not want these names and images to be removed and disappear. The encouragement these names bring to Indians cannot be calculated. The pride felt through the Fighting Sioux name and image guided not just my life, but my son, who is now a teacher on the reservation and a county commissioner, and his son, both of whom would not have been graduated high school if not for their desire and inspiration to play for the UND Fighting Sioux. John Chesky's niece is in the UND Basketball Hall of Fame, brought about from her desire to play for the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux. These are not theories, these are facts. As I and Native American Guardians Association stand with the Fighting Illini, we do not support mascots. We do, however, fight for the honor and dignity of these names and images and what they represent. Native American Guardians Association would support a new emblem or logo and an authentic halftime traditional dance, and would support the war chant. For Native Americans, a drum is the heartbeat of Mother Earth. Regardless of what the opposition may claim, most American Indians take pride in these names and images. I strongly urge you to keep the Fighting Illini alive, not just for your proud university, but for the pride it brings to the majority of American Indians. The claim that if it hurt just one, it must go, there is no proof it hurts anyone. Some may not like it, but they are not hurt by it. Even true, what about the other nine? Have they no rights if they take pride in these names and images? Should we remove the pride simply because someone does not like it and cannot give a valid reason? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Davidson. Our next speaker is Tony Henson.
It is an honor to speak today about the controversial topic of Native American names and imagery in sports. Many of you may wonder why, after decades of there being no controversy over the chief or any other Native traditions in sports, has this controversy seemingly sprung up out of nowhere in recent years. The short answer is that a harmful movement was created by radicals and far leftist academia joining forces with their political allies to achieve what they describe in their own words as the decolonization of America. Their mission is to create chaos and divide people along racial lines. The cornerstone of their movement is a highly biased APA study which suggests Native youth are somehow harmed by Native imagery in sports. These studies suffer from professionally published critiques citing significant methodological and conceptual construction flaws. The Indians used in the study were from a single reservation in Arizona and were effectively being primed to elicit the desired response, a tactic frowned upon in social sciences. In what can be seen as a supplement to the APA study, Stanford psychologist and later president of the APA, Dr. Phil Zimbardo, calls out the tactic and claims it may be responsible for developing a damaging condition he calls a past negative mindset. Zimbardo's experiments demonstrate that those who operate from this mindset are more likely to want revenge and will operate from a vendetta-based mentality. I am a Cherokee and the administrative director of a nationwide organization called the Native American Guardians Association. As such, I see the vendetta playing out at Native-themed schools all across the country, including here at Illinois. It was not good enough for the agitators to get rid of the chief and the emblem. Their vendetta has been extended to get rid of the war chant, the three-in-one, and ultimately the Fighting Illini name as a means to exact revenge against the majority who rightfully hold these traditions sacred. As multiple national surveys have consistently revealed, by margins of as high as 91%, the vast majority of Native Americans do not hold this negative mindset and in fact support the names and images in sports. Native Americans are largely well-assimilated, patriotic people who love this country, and many continue to proudly serve in its military. The vast majority of Illini Nation, likewise, do not hold this negative mindset. Last homecoming, in contrast to those blocking the parade, a peaceful group of North Dakota Sioux tribal members came to Champaign to share with our fans their beautiful, authentic culture. Had they been allowed on the field, you would have witnessed an amazing spectacle of Native American dancers adorned in colorful, authentic regalia, dancing their traditional dances alongside war veterans serving as the color guard. You would have seen university students of various ethnicities carrying along the goal lines the flags of their home nations. I call this new halftime tradition the Unity Celebration. This would transform halftime from a flashpoint of controversy into the ultimate rallying stage for unity and inclusion. A halftime tribute honoring our veterans, our Native Illini tribe, the university and its commitment to inclusion and diversity. Truly the defining three within the three and one. You would have seen a majestic sea of color matched only by the smiles and cheering once again from our long-suffering fans. But no, says the chancellor, can't have any of that. The minority will say it's the chief. Therefore, the majority must once again suffer at their hands. In the handouts I have provided the trustees, you will see quotes from some of the most ardent chief opponents about the need to educate the campus about Native American culture and history. In Indian terms, these people speak with forked tongues because they say education, but practice only eradication. When the chancellor denied my performers access to the field, he effectively made the University of Illinois the lone institution of higher learning to ban a race of people from a campus venue. Our Indian friends will return this fall. Just as Negro League players were not willing to be banned from the big league stage, neither will our Indian friends accept being kicked to the back of the bus to some second-rate reservation venue ever again. The chancellor is leading the university backwards to an era of Indian removal and Jim Crow segregation. Trustees, you not only have the authority, you have the moral imperative to once and for all end the institutional racism against Native Americans at the University of Illinois. The Confederated Tribes of our state and this university take their very name. They were known as the Illinois. The Illinois suffered an unspeakable injustice when they were forcibly removed from their native homeland. If we could undo this injustice, we would, but we have no control over the past. Fortunately, we can control our future. I submit it is time for our remnant Illini tribe, the Peoria tribe, to come home. Come home and take their rightful place of honor at the University of the Illinois. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Henson. For our next speaker, I'd like to call on Patrick Christopher Riley. I guess Mr. Riley, he's not here. If he shows in time, we'll allow him to speak last. Could I please call on Patrick Thompson to address the board? Thank you.
Good morning, board. My name is Patrick Thompson. I'm the president of VIA Inc. We are a local minority contractor out of Champaign, Illinois. And I am here again today to talk about minority contracting on the Capitol's project in Champaign-Urbana. And my concern is still the same with opportunities to be able to have opportunities to bid projects and perform work on the projects. Now, I've been to the board here several times talking about this issue, and I still haven't gotten any kind of response back from anyone or anything has been resolved regarding some of the concerns that I've had. I know back in January the 19th of 2017, there was a resolution for the board gave the university 90 days to make recommendations about splitting the goals and separating the contract goals. They also discussed investigating the shelter market. At this time, I still have not seen any information or anything regarding the status of that. So again, my concern is, when is this going to happen? You know, will it happen? And I think I say that to say that, you know, as a minority contractor, the challenges of us being able to bid university projects is overwhelming. There's a lot of barriers. The pre-qualification standard is very high. The amount of the dollar amount of the projects is very significant, and some of those things need to be looked at. You know, the university has, I've talked to some of the staff, and they appear to be very knowledgeable about the programs that they're running, and they appear to have some understanding about how to fix those things. So I'm not quite sure what's taking, you know, why things have not been reviewed or looked at and said, okay, what can we do different to increase more African-Americans on construction projects at the university. There's also the chart that is being posted up to the Board of Trustees that is showing the spend for MAFI vendors. Well, some of these vendors on here are not even in construction. So I believe that, to me, that this report that's being generated is not accurate. It does not reflect the true representation of African Americans or minorities that are doing work on the university. So it appears that there's just, you know, misrepresentation here, because I looked at this and a lot of these companies are not even in construction. So you know, that's another one of my concerns. I'll say this, you know, and I get this all the time from within the community, you know, individuals or people coming up to me asking me, well, are you doing any work on the University of Illinois campus? And, you know, I said, well, yeah, we're doing, you know, some work, but you know, it's visibly to everyone in Champaign-Urbana when they drive through campus, whether they work there, live there, and the question is, where are the African-American contractors? Are they doing any work? Are they there? And the answer is, you know, no, they're not doing any work. So as a minority contractor, my aspiration is to be able to bid as a prime contractor on university projects. Now, I'm not saying I want to bid on $10 million projects or $5 million projects. That's not what I'm here to say. But I'm here to say, you know, take a look at it. Give us some opportunities so that we can do what we're supposed to do in trying to create diversity and creating jobs and those things. So I'm here again to make my statement again that I would like to see some changes in that policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. And again, I'd like to thank all our public speakers today for your interest in the University of Illinois. Did Mr. Riley ever show? Okay, then we'll move on.